Jung considers it one of the great tasks in human development to expand awareness of the unconscious and, above all, to nurture and strengthen the relationship with the unconscious. Until you make the unconscious conscious, Jung writes, it will direct your life and you will call it fate.
The Call of the Unconscious. The philosophical psychological audio podcast with Martin Vermann. Develop trust in your own perception, avoid pitfalls and gain inner clarity.
The reality and the unconscious, which we discussed in detail in the last episode, are the two central concepts that directly lead us to the psychology of Carl Gustav Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist known as the founder of analytical psychology. Jung says that the unconscious, from a psychological perspective, is the objective reality. This is a short sentence of great significance, because here we might encounter it, the unvarnished objective reality, free from concepts and opinions, an objective instance that eludes any influence. Jung refers to the unconscious as the greatest objective advisor in life. The unconscious is not only the reservoir of past human experiences, but also the source of the new, of creative forces, and of the future developments of both the individual and society. The unconscious forms the vast majority of the human psyche and is the inexhaustible source of those forces that go far beyond what consciousness can comprehend. But what a contrast becomes visible here to our prevailing conception of reality today, in which there is practically no room left for the unconscious. We believe we are a conscious whole. We believe our thoughts, feelings, ideas, and sensations all belong to us. We believe they are solely products of our daily consciousness, results of biochemical processes. But how does this fit together? On the one hand, we consider ourselves the crown of creation, and on the other hand, nothing more than chemistry happens in our brains. When C.G. Jung writes, after decades of empirical clinical observations, that while a person believes they know themselves, they are unaware that their consciousness is only a tiny part of their entire psyche, he is suggesting an instance beyond our everyday consciousness that goes far beyond anything personal. He calls this instance the collective unconscious. It contains our pre-existent consciousness structures, the so-called archetypes, as ancient, universal, collective images that exist independently of individual experiences and structure and organize that collective unconscious of our background. This connection to the fundamental functions of human life shapes our inner experiences. The archetypes are inherent, pre-existent patterns in the unconscious that manifest as the personality develops. Jung considers it one of the great tasks in human development to expand awareness of the unconscious and, above all, to cultivate and strengthen the relationship with the unconscious. Until you make the unconscious conscious, Jung writes, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. In other words, those who do not want to experience the inevitable workings of the unconscious, passively as something fateful, something that can strike unexpectedly and too forcefully, should strive to practice the art of engaging in a dialogue with the other side. This leads us to the question we want to address in today's podcast episode. Is the currently prevailing philosophy of constructivism able to simply talk away these archetypes? Has C.G. Jung perhaps already become outdated? For Jung, archetypes such as the hero, the mother, the wise old man, or the shadow are universal and recognizable as fundamental psychological forms in all cultures. Jung asserts that these archetypes originate from a collective unconscious and exist in the human psyche independently of personal experiences. Thus, they function as an objective structure that transcends temporary individual and cultural realities. The archetypes manifest not only in the individual psyche, but also in myths, religions, art, and dreams, indicating that they represent a universal blueprint in human perception and collective expression. However, if we momentarily adopt a purely constructivist perspective, we might be tempted to dismiss Jungian psychology with a simple argument. that archetypes are not objectively given, but rather created by humans through social and cultural interactions and then perceived as quasi-universal. A constructivist might claim that what we regard as universal archetypes could also be shaped by the shared similarities of human life conditions and processes of cultural exchange. Constructivism might further argue that the collective unconscious itself is a culturally constructed concept, a framework that humans repeatedly create in various forms to explain complex emotions and experiences. In contrast, C.G. Jung's psychology considers archetypes as psychic structures that lie deeper than individual or cultural conditioning. Jung situates them as part of the psyche itself, existing beyond our conscious constructions. They are not dependent on individuals or cultures, but appear empirically observable in similar forms across people from vastly different cultures and historical periods. This suggests their objective reality, a point that is difficult for constructivist theory to entirely refute. For constructivism, it is not possible to fully grasp this level of the psyche, as it limits reality to subjective constructions and cultural interpretations. However, since archetypes influence people regardless of their consciousness and culture, they exist beyond these constructions and represent a form of psychological objectivity. Archetypes, in Jung's sense, present a challenge to constructivism that is difficult to overcome, as they are recognizable as universal, preconscious patterns of the human psyche that are not created by individual or cultural constructions. While constructivism emphasizes the subjective and culturally influenced nature of our perception, archetypes suggest the existence of a pre-existing level of psychological reality that is deeper and more universal, one that escapes pure construction. These archetypal patterns can be understood as an objective reality shaping the human psyche, independent of how they are culturally interpreted, expressed, or reconstructed. In this sense, it can be said that constructivism struggles to entirely debunk the existence of archetypes without disregarding essential aspects of the human psyche and its universal patterns. If archetypes represent a universal, pre-existing structure in the human unconscious, then there are fundamental unchanging patterns that shape human behavior, cultural development, and the individual psyche. These patterns precede both consciousness and cultural formation, thereby setting boundaries for education, socialization, and individual transformation. Archetypes act as foundational templates that dictate certain forms of human experience and behavior, independent of conscious educational processes or cultural influences. Education and culture may influence the ways these archetypal patterns are expressed, but cannot alter their existence or structure. For example, when considering the archetype of the hero, it will manifest in some form within every culture. The specific values and expressions of heroism may vary, e.g., courage, justice, self-sacrifice, but the core pattern, facing a challenge or conflict, undergoing a trial, and experiencing transformation, remains constant. This archetype reflects a mode of being human that transcends cultural differences. The presence of pre-existing archetypal structures means that the human psyche can only be shaped to a certain extent by education and social conditioning. Educational and even political measures can foster or suppress individual potentials, but they must ultimately align with the universal archetypal structures deeply rooted in the unconscious of the individual. Individual traits such as curiosity, fear of the unknown, the drive for self-realization, or the search for meaning and belonging are not purely learned or culturally conditioned characteristics. They are archetypal themes. The archetype of the seeker or traveler, for instance, expresses the human need for growth and the pursuit of meaning. These needs cannot be entirely taught or reconditioned, as they are deeply ingrained in the psyche. Cultures often attempt to shape individuals through specific values and norms, but these cultural rules can only operate within the framework set by archetypal structures. For example, a culture may produce different forms of heroism, but it cannot eliminate or replace the underlying pattern. Jung's concept of individuation, the process through which a person realizes their full self, is a growth from deep within, where an individual actualizes their unique dispositions and potentials. While this process can be supported by education, it cannot be arbitrarily created as it follows the archetypes already present in the unconscious. A person is more unfolded than shaped. Education and cultural influences can guide this process, but they cannot completely direct it. Humans are born with an internal structure that expresses itself and blossoms over the course of their lives. If we stray too far from this internal structure, the unconscious often acts in a compensatory way, for example, through dreams. In upcoming episodes of this podcast series, we will explore dream work in detail. The unconscious expresses itself in many ways, but to me, it does so most vividly, personally, and tangibly in our nightly dreams. We will examine some specific dreams shared with me in workshops on dream interpretation, using these to study the language of the unconscious. But for now, let us conclude this episode. What have we learned? The existence of archetypes reminds us that individual development is less about reshaping and more about fostering and guiding the inherent archetypal patterns within us. Archetypal structures limit human malleability, showing that education and culture cannot simply override these pre-existent patterns and potentials. Archetypes represent a kind of inner reality that exists within each person. Rather than attempting to overcome these patterns, it is more effective to respect and harness them to promote healthy development. In this sense, we can say that while archetypes do not entirely determine individuals, they do set a framework within which individual and cultural variations occur. There remains room for individual freedom and cultural diversity, but we also recognize a deeper psychological reality that resists complete malleability. In the next episode of our podcast, we'll delve deeper into the relationship between our conscious self and the powerful, often underestimated unconscious. C.G. Jung likened the unconscious to a vast ocean on which our consciousness drifts like a small boat. Have we underestimated the significance of the unconscious? Why, since the Enlightenment, have we placed our ego at the center and suppressed the deeper influences of our psyche? And what happens when we ignore the unconscious? We'll explore how the unconscious pushes into our lives through archetypes and symbols. To illustrate this, we'll examine a few dreams as examples. Thank you for joining me today on this fascinating journey through some rather complex concepts. It's always a pleasure to dive into the captivating depths of the human psyche together with you. I hope you've taken away some inspiring ideas from this episode, and I look forward to welcoming you again in the next one. If you enjoyed this episode, I would be delighted if you could recommend it and share it with others who might also be intrigued by these topics. Until then, I wish you all the best, plenty of curiosity and openness to the hidden worlds within you. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.